Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Aditya Birla Sun Life Asset Management Q3 and FY25 earnings conference call hosted by InCred Equities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Jignesh Shial from InCred Equities. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Manav, and good evening, everyone. On behalf of InCred Equities, I welcome all to this Aditya Birla Sun Life Asset Management Earnings Conference Call, 3Q for FY24 Earnings Conference Call. We have along with us Mr. A. Balasubramanian, Managing Director and CEO, along with the senior management team of Aditya Birla Sun Life AMC. We are thankful to the management for allowing us this opportunity. I would now like to hand it over to Mr. A. Balasubramanian, Managing Director and CEO of Aditya Birla Sun Life AMC, for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thanks, Ignesh. Good evening, everyone. And thank you for joining today's investors call. I hope you all had the opportunity to see the earnings presentation, which has been put out in the exchange as well as our website. Let me begin with the economic outlook very quickly and give an update on MF industry as well. The current global macroeconomic landscape presents a mixed picture of challenges and some bit of cautions to have come with optimism. Global growth is expected to remain stable, with the most forecast placing it around 3.5% to 3.2%. Central banks are now likely to maintain a cautious stance on monetary policies and continuing their gradual normalization of interest rates after a period of tightening. And global markets have experienced increased volatility, leading up to the new administration of U.S. taking power. We expect this volatility to subside in Q1 FY 2025 once there is a greater clarity on the policies of the new administration. Against this backdrop, India is expected to maintain its position as one of the fastest growing major economies, with GDP growth of 2025 estimated about 6.5%. And India's economic outlook remains, though it's a positive, supported by strong fundamentals and favorable government policies. We might also participate in the recent volatility of witnessed in the global market. Inflation is also showing signs of moderation, with the RBI actively managing it through effective monetary policy measures. We expect balanced recovery with a moderate uptick in both private investments and consumption. The Indian equity market is currently witnessing significant volatility, driven by a mix of global and domestic factors. Rising inflation and potential trade-related issues and global market turbulence due to geopolitical tensions and economic uncertainties are fueling price fluctuations. And despite global uncertainties and domestic challenges, Indian economic resilience and policy reforms and growing retail participation should continue to fuel investors' confidence in the market. Coming to the mutual fund industry, the industry has witnessed record-breaking growth in 2024, reaching all-time AUM high of 68 lakh crore. As of December 2024, the mutual fund industry quarterly average AUM reached 68 lakh crores as compared to 49 lakh crores as of December 2023, growing by about 39% on a year-on-year. During Q3 FY25, the mutual fund industry witnessed the equity net sales around 1,60,000 crores through new fund offerings and also inflows in the existing funds. The total NFO collections in equity funds were around 19,400 crores, majorly coming from sectoral and thematic funds. The industry SIP continued to show good growth, with the 50% year-on-year growth around 26,500 crores in December 2024. With 5.26 crores unique customer base. The total number of mutual fund folios stood at 22.8 crores with a year-on-year increase of 37%. The individual average AUM grew by 39% year-on-year from 30.7 lakh crore to 42.5 lakh crore and contributed 16% of the total assets under management. This is also on the back of institutional AUM have remained somewhat flat for the last 2 years for a variety of reasons, including the withdrawal of tax, which we saw last year. And B30 cities with an average AUM of 12.83 lakh crore accounted for 19% of the total AUM. At IEEE AMC, our overall average assets under management, including alternate assets, stood at 4 lakh crore plus, reflecting 23% year-on-year growth. Our mutual fund average AUM reached 3,84,000 crores, growing by 23% again year-on-year. The quarterly peak of the average assets under management stood at 1,79,000 crores, growing by about 32% year-on-year. The uptick in equity investment performance, driven by improved perceptions and strong narratives, has helped us gain traction in equity net sales during the current quarter. Our SIP book grew by 30% year-on-year from 1,005 crores in the year December 2023 to about 1,382 crores in December 2024. We also added close to about 6,70,000 new SIPs, which again increased by 3 times compared to the previous year around the same time. The total investors folio crossed 1 crore, now it's about 1 crore 5 lakh is the investors folio, with around 24 lakh new folios added during the 9-month period of FY 2025. And during the quarter, we launched the ABSL conglomerate fund, which is a unique fund with a different concept, and garnered about 1,375 crores. We also conceptualized and launched the industry first 3 to 6 months index fund, which also garnered close to about 715 crores during the current quarter. The retail sales teams, which is dedicated to drive the higher engagement and establishing strong mindshare in the deeper markets through series of impactful initiatives. We have been running programs like SHV, which is nothing but empower and groom women MFDs, fostering inclusivity and leadership within the sectors, and provide the necessary training program in order to gain higher engagement and higher mindshare and higher market share. And Fulcrum, which is to focus on equipping MFDs with the tools and strategies to build high-performing teams, driving sustainable business growth and improve the overall productivity of the team as well as the distribution partners. Third is a legacy leap, which is designed to cultivate the next generation of MFDs by sharpening and enhancing their skills. Together, these initiatives we believe will help us create a long-lasting impact across retail channel improvement that we are trying to bring on the overall basis. On the alternate business front, to meet the growing needs of HNIs and family offices, we continue to strengthen our team and enhance our PMS and AIF offerings both in equity and fixed income. In fact, our PMS assets, including AIF equity, long-only equity, grew by 44% year-on-year from 2,671 crores to 3,853 crores. So we are seeing momentum picking up as far as our PMS and AIF traction concerns. On offshore business, we grew by about 28% from 9,894 crores. To about 12,686 crores. In fact, in the current quarter, we have seen some inflows coming from offshore investors into India dedicated funds that we have created both in Europe and ESG platform as well as on the GIFT City to get money into the country. And in line with our vision to scale the passive business, we continue to offer a diverse product portfolios to our investors, delivering strong returns. As of December 2024, our total passive assets stood approximately about 31,600 crores and our customer base has grown to over 10.69 lakh folios. Our diverse product offerings currently is about 52 and we plan to launch additional funds in the coming quarters to further expand and our passive investment options. Moving on quickly to the financials, our quarterly revenue from operation was at 445 crores versus 342 crores in Q3 FY24, up 30% year-on-year. Our quarterly operating profit also has shown a significant improvement in the, during the current quarter to 262 crores from 184 crores in Q3 FY24, up by 42%. In fact, our operating profit grew by 42%, which is higher than the overall revenue operations, about 30% growth. In the 9 months period, our revenue from operations was about 1,256 crores versus 988 crores for 9 months FY24, up by 27% year on year. For the same 9 month period, our operating profit was about 710 crores versus 528 crores, again for 9 month FY24, up by 35% year on year. With this, I'd like to conclude and open the floor for any questions that you may have.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets only while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Dipanjan Ghosh from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir. First, maybe I'll just start off with a few data keeping questions and then I'll move on to my generic questions. So if you can quantify employee number, SIP flow for the quarter, ESOP expense and non-mutual fund revenues.
Yeah, last but not
least. So employee count as of December 24 is 1,627. The SIP flows for the quarter is around 4,000 crores. What was the other question?
The non-MF revenue and the ESOP expense.
The ESOP expense for the quarter is around 28 lakh and the non-MF revenue is in the range of around 34-35 crores.
Got it. So, sir, just moving on to the question front, first starting off from this employee number only, it seems that sequentially there has been a significant uptick in your employee base from around mid-1500s to 1627. So, just wanted to get some sense of, has the entire employee cost been absorbed in the base or should one see it kind of overflowing into the next quarter? And also in this line, you know, given the way the markets have been going into, let's say, the next year, if it were to remain choppy, do you expect the overall OPEX trajectory, how do you expect that to really shape up? The second question is on the mutual fund, the overall yield part. If I understand correctly, there has been a significant sequential improvement in yields. So can you just explain that? And lastly, you know, just qualitatively for January, how are you witnessing your net sales, redemptions, and maybe for the industry, if you can give some color out there?
Yeah. So as far as the employees concerns, of course, one, wherever we are building up our team, especially in the passive, direct, as well as emerging markets where we are opening locations, And especially places like Mumbai, where we are further strengthening our team further with respect to distribution front-facing sales team. Largely, the increase is on account of them. There has not been a significant addition at the top level. It's all at the operating level. That I think more or less this year, whatever we have taken as a budget, we thought before we start the year next year, we'll complete the recruitment this year. So the next year, we don't need to increase the headcount on overall basis. That's broadly the principle in which you function. That's something I would say the increase in headcount on account of that. As far as the in the month of January is concerned, I think broadly the trend remains the same. We have not seen any significant change in the trend that you have witnessed in the previous quarter. I think we are seeing net sales improvement for us is coming in gradually. Some of the schemes already identified as a scheme to be pushed from a broader perspective. There we are seeing some kind of improvement. And the SAP focus continues to remain. So again, no major change. But however, the current volatility, we'll have to just watch out. There is one trend, we'll have to just watch out. In general, what happens when the market turns volatile? The lump sum generally normally comes, they don't come as aggressive as it generally is supposed to be. Second, SIPs, while top line SIPs continue to come, normally the cancellation rate from 50-58% average that goes to say 665 again comes back. But right now, going by the January trend, very difficult to make many assessment in a significant deviation that we are witnessing currently.
And sir, on the mutual fund yield part, what happened during the quarter?
Yeah.
So, Dipanjan, on the mutual fund yield, the improvement which you are seeing is mainly account of two, three reasons. One is on few debt scheme, we have increased at TER that has resulted in the increase in the in the yield. The other one is the mark to market. Because of the lower AUM, we able to charge some higher TER and there some yield has been improved. And the third reason is on account of marketing and distribution expenses has been realigned based on the current market conditions. So that these are the two, three reasons because of which you can see the improvement in the yield.
Sure. So I couldn't understand the last part what you mentioned in terms of marketing and distribution getting realigned. So is it like the increment that
you
are
doing? Complete your question?
Sir, is it on the incremental flows where the commissions are getting realigned or is it like your overall distribution expense, you know, that you are spending for the franchisee is getting reduced or is it on the back book that you have taken some, you know, kind of repricing, you know, if you can just give some color?
So based on the current situation, we have projected few marketing and distribution expenses for the year. Okay, so those expenses have been realigned, which has resulted in the increase in the fee.
Sure. And then on the debt book, you have kind of repriced for a few schemes. If I missed that part.
The few debt schemes we have increased the TR that has again resulted in the
revenue.
Got it. Sure. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Yeah.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, if you wish to ask any questions, you may press star and one. We have our next question from the line of Prayesh Jain from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir, and decent set of numbers. Just your thoughts on how aggressive or what kind of growth aspirations you have on the non-MF businesses. Probably if you could give us some 3 to 5 year aspirations or targets for AUM size of PMS, AIF, or GIFT City, any of these things which can, be significant contributors to your revenue and top line, to your AUM and top line, that would be much help.
Yeah. Thanks, Paige. As far as alternative business concerns, last 2 few years, the investment that we have been making, both in building PMS, AIF, and AIF fixed income credit, and real estate fixed income credit, and offshore. And lastly is the passive. This is the five different verticals we covered under the alternate. We are giving a reasonably good push as far as the PMS, AIF and AIF credit fund concerns, given the fact that it can easily fit into our family offices and HNIs across different parts of the country. Right now, this PMS and AIF put together, we have roughly about 4,000 crores kind of size. And definitely the overall scheme of thinking that we put aside this year for the next 5 years, a roadmap. We have been assuming the rate of growth in the alternative business has to be faster than the mutual fund. And given the fact that the customer segmentation here is different from mutual fund. And that we are seeing already both in terms of AUM growth as well as on the profitability contributions. Though I cannot give any specific numbers per se, but otherwise we have put as a carry for individuals across the country from a sales team point of view. 20% of the carry is goes towards building our PMS business. AIF credit fund, we already committed some seed capital from AMC business, and basis which few commitments already started coming in, some underwriting of instruments has started happening. And initially our idea was to collect close to about 750,000 crores kind of size. I think upon building the first issue and then closure of the first issue, then we'll start building up the second launch. So that's something which we have put in place. And ideally speaking, in the PMS and the AIF equity side, we would be gunning close to about 20,000 crores kind of size over a period of time. And the case of AIF credit fund, we would be gunning for close to about 5,000 crores kind of size for a period of next 3 years. And in the case of real estate fund, where we have already given good experience, wherein we manage roughly about 150 crores money that we are already managing it. Whatever effort that we have put in terms of reaching out to global investors, we are seeing some traction in that. There also, we'll be looking at the first bigger closure, the next 1.5 years, close to about 5,000 crores size, and then keep building it as we start making a progress on the number which I'm just mentioning. Clearly, the idea is to build this space in our overall basis. Offshore, in fact, I'm seeing some kind of traction. In fact, the last quarter, we saw some success coming from two of the Canadian-based investors with whom we have a tie-up for the India-dedicated mandate. We saw some flows coming in, to whom we also have tied up from India to invest in the overseas market. We have seen some success, which also now starts giving me revenue to the GIFT City. We will see volume picking up in this space, and subject, of course, emerging market attraction for overseas investors point of view continues to remain. As far as the passive concern, right now we are roughly about 32,000 crores kind of size. Clearly, we are keeping an eye that how do we make our passive business verticals, which includes index, ETF, fixed income, target maturity fund, to reach a size of about 1 lakh crore size over a period of next 3 years. That's something we're putting as part of the business plan and work towards that.
Well, that's quite interesting. But one aspect which I wanted to understand also was, what are the kind of costs that we are incurring today on a run rate basis in the non-MF businesses, which the reason why I'm asking that is, you know, as these businesses scale up, the profitability improvement can be significant, because if your teams are in place and no further hirings or no major hiring would be needed, then the revenue grow with AUM growth coming in and then following up with revenue growth, the profitability of the entire company can improve significantly. Is it, if you can give some color on the what is the cost of non-MF businesses, or at what level they are operating today?
Yeah,
one second. So, Prash, difficult to give you the cost because we have not disclosed the cost as such for the particular business as such. But as we have already spoken that the alternate asset business used to contribute around 14-15% of our total revenue. So currently it is in the range of around 7-8%. So our target is to, you know, take it further to around what we were there in the earlier period.
Yeah, just to add to that, Prayesh, see, the cost has more or less remains. Whatever team we have to add, we already done that, except we'll only do the replacement of people who left. So it means incremental cost for the people concerned. The main is investment function, and that we are already full. That's unlikely. There is one cost which anyway I mentioned on the last call also, I mentioned that we'll add somebody to head the overall alternate business to drive this as a separate vertical, which is a senior recruitment we'll do, who will take the entire responsibility of the building offshore business. That cost will get added. But beyond that, what we are trying to leverage is the distribution strength which has been created. That's, I think, it comes in the form of carry of people to add to the overall growth, which essentially means existing people in the sales will only add to the success of the alternate business, which will come as an add-on business rather than coming along with the incremental cost. Even this quarter, the last two quarters itself, we have seen the addition of revenue contribution coming from the alternate business improved by almost about some 16 or 17 crores. Additional revenue came because of the increase in assets in alternate business.
Yeah.
So is it fair to assume that these businesses are profitable today or they are still breaking even?
Yes.
Or
yes, these businesses are profitable today.
In fact, all my offshore business also, everything is profitable today. The only question is the scale.
Got that. So the last question is on the mutual fund business here, where, you know, so one performance is one element where we are seeing some green shoots for you. The other element to grow the AUM is the distribution machinery, right? And at the time of IPO, we were talking about a lot of growth coming in from cross-sell to the group companies. Apart from that, any other drivers that you are putting in the business model to kind of really take up this momentum further stronger, because we are just at the cusp of fund performance improvement, and if the distribution machinery also kind of picks up more momentum, then you have a great runway ahead.
Right. Now, with respect to the distribution, of course, we have an established distribution model as far as the retail concern. So that, which is basically divided into T30 and B30, and then beyond that, the emerging market. And then within that, we created a five step of verticals that we created. One is VRM model to activate IFAs, growing IFAs in the country. We are seeing good success. We keep adding more people into the VRM model. By the virtual RM model, that we keep increasing the number of team members. As each time period passes, we also learn from the experience and then keep improving on contributing overall success. We are seeing some success. In fact, I must mention the conglomerate fund that we had, in fact, close to about 70-80 crores got added from the VRM channel itself, in addition to the traditional distribution channel. So that's something we are seeing as a success. Second is operation team beyond a point when it becomes a well-oiled engine. The operation team, which is service-facing team, can also contribute to the overall success of the sales. We've got a service to sales. We are stepping up the focus, and each year we keep increasing the target to ensure their contribution increases. While these are the established models that we have, emerging market is one where, as a fund house, always had great success coming from creating our presence in smaller locations and improve our presence in those markets, therefore increase our market share. The country will remain one of our big areas. So currently, we have about 95 locations which we operate. While 95, we may remain 95, but some will go to the branch level. Some new branch locations will get added there. That something remains one of our big area of focus. Having built that, I think last 1 year, given the fact that we need to step up our engagement on distribution activities and also get a higher output. The team got together, identified about 25 locations in the country, which gives roughly about 80% of the overall sales volume for the industry, including ourselves. And what are the steps that we can take to ensure these 80% market gives me higher contribution by way of engaging at the ground level. That's something which I'm doing. In fact, one of the initiatives we are taking this year is we normally do an annual voyage event. This year, we are converting that into a voyage event. We are continuing, but we are doing it only with the cream of people with whom our market share is less. But subject to our high engagement and they getting convinced, as you rightly mentioned, about the perception and performance improvement coming, also being noticed. Therefore, we can get incremental AUM from them. That's something which we are now doing it. Upon doing this, we'll probably do this across different parts of the country to ensure the distribution engagement increases quite significantly as we are currently putting in effort.
Got that, sir. Just last bookkeeping. Can we get the yields on each of the asset classes for this quarter?
Sure.
So, Praesh, the yield for this quarter on the equity side is in the range of around 70-71. Debt is 25, liquid is 13, and ETF is around 7 to 8 basis points.
Got that. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Abhijeet Sakhare from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi, good evening. Question is on yields again.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Abhijeet, but can you please be a little louder?
Yes. Question on yields again. If you could quantify what was the increase in debt tier that we've made in the previous quarter?
I don't have that data, Abhijeet, but I don't have that data to quantify the yield increase on account of debt side. But on few of our debt schemes, we have increased the TR, which has resulted in the increase in the yield.
Okay.
Overall, it's around 100 basis point.
Yeah.
And then going forward, are you anticipating any further tweaks to the overall TR number in the fourth quarter or going ahead, both on the equity as well as the debt funds?
No, equity will remain more or less the same. I don't think sometimes you must also remember these numbers keep changing depending upon which bucket in which AEM moves. But otherwise, broadly equity should remain the same. As far as fixed income concerns, one can expect marginal improvement on the yield, given the fact that as interest rates get stabilized. And then start coming down. We'll have to give some kind of room for growth in the duration assets, wherein the expenses are generally higher than the liquid fund or liquid plus fund. So to the extent one can expect that segment improve. And third is we're also pushing very aggressively our hybrid funds, where like multi-asset allocation fund, balance advantage fund, equity savings fund. We are giving a push in terms of sales, and as we start seeing the overall improvement in terms of sales activities there, once again the revenue contribution coming from that segment will also rise. Given the fact, again, the size is relatively lower compared to the large industry size, therefore to the extent that we could see the improvement in the contribution.
Got it.
Sir,
again, coming back to the growth front, now that we've seen some improvement in performance, especially in the shorter term buckets, have you seen any improvement as far as the products getting included in overall recommendation list, or any material change in how the products are perceived in the major channels?
Yeah. See, that keeps coming on and off. I think the major channels, in the organized channel, except one or two, we have been part of the recommendation in most places. In fact, I must mention that our large cap fund, front equity and flexi cap funds, both of them are now coming as part of the recommendation list in the organized channels. We are seeing progress in the current quarter. Even our balance advantage fund, which has again have been improving on the overall performance, we are seeing money coming, getting recommended in the organized channel. Third is the multi-asset allocation fund, which is of course about 1.5 years of track record and done extremely well, also being included as part of the recommendation list by the organized channel piece. As for the online channel concerns, we did have a huge success in the last quarter. A few of our funds came as part of the recommendations, and those recommendations keep moving up and down depending upon the ranking which they calculate from the overall basis. But few of our funds are part of the core list, which is basically front equity, flexi cap, and multi-asset allocation fund and balance advantage fund. These are some of the funds that have been part of the recommendation list. We are seeing some kind of progress in this space. But of course, in order to this to get converted into a visibly higher AUM contribution coming from this segment, that we need to continue to work towards it the number keeps improving on a quarter-on-quarter basis.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Lalit Deo from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good evening. Sir, just wanted to confirm, firstly, on the debt side, could you classify the overall yield on the debt side? Was it 23 basis points?
25 basis points.
Oh, sure, sir. And also, could you, one more data keeping question was that, could you quantify the SIP AUM for the as of December end, sir?
Sure.
It is 78,000 crores, Lalit.
Sure, sir. So just on the SIP flows, so like what we have been seeing is that for the industry, there has been an uptick in the monthly SIP flows. Whereas on whereas for us, there has been a decline and the discontinuation rates have also increased. So what could you give us some reasons, like why, what would be the major reasons for the same?
Broadly in the SIP, the trend remains in terms of registration numbers, except we saw especially the lump sum ticket SIPs. As I mentioned about, normally during market volatile period, lump sum is the one which generally gets stopped and then they can come back, which I call it as a high ticket SIPs. We saw some reduction in that, therefore we saw overall numbers marginally lower than the previous quarter. Otherwise, the retail peer-to-peer SIP that we try to drive, both by way of adding new customers and the new registration coming from the larger channel partners, that focus remains. But otherwise also, from a cancellation point of view, generally the ratio is about 50-50%, especially month of December, we saw the number going up to almost about 55-60. And at times, when that number suddenly improves, rather goes up, it does have an impact on the overall number. But otherwise, I would attribute this to the market volatility that we are currently witnessing, which normally I've seen historically it happens for the industry, even for us also. The number can vary from fund house to fund house. But otherwise, once things settle down, we should see this number coming back to normalcy.
Sorry.
Generally, we try to position as agnostic to the market, and that acceptance generally is high. Therefore, we go back to the basics and keep pushing it that SIP is something agnostic to the market and fluctuations and sentiment. That's something keep harping on it should only help in terms of maintaining it and improve.
Right.
Yeah.
So, based on this question, sir, like, so on the net sales, when we are saying that we are seeing some improvement in the net sales, so, particularly in this channel, probably we are seeing more improvement or seeing some improvement in our market share, probably.
Mm-hmm. I think it's generally spread across all channels, mainly the IFA's contribution on incremental basis is improving. ND channel, which is the second largest channel for us, so their contribution is improving. So in fact, when we did that Commonwealth Fund, we did have participations into our funds coming from almost about 22,000 IFAs contributing to the conglomerate fund, which is also helped us in activating a lot of the IFAs during this period. We are also seeing online channels selectively contributing on the SIPs. I think broadly in the order of MFDs and NDs and direct, and banking, and then online channels.
Gotcha. Yeah. And so just last question, any products in pipeline on the active equity side?
Of course, we already taken approval at the month of, we didn't launch the fund, which is the innovation fund. We have taken approval, we gave a preference to conglomerate fund over innovation fund. And as and when we feel is right, either in the current quarter or in the subsequent quarter next year, we will have this product launch. Otherwise, we have a series of product pipeline on the passive side, both on the passive equity, ETF and index on equity fund, as well as the target maturity fund on the fixed income. Both we already have pipeline of product. We have one pipeline of product for GIFT City. Upon we closing the first fund which we launched, special opportunity fund will be created. Now we have created another fund to invest in global blue chip. That's something we have launched, we already launched, and we'll go aggressive in terms of promotion as we move forward in the current quarter. We also, of course, announced the fund of fund launch from GIFT City to India. That also will be an official launch maybe in the next few months we will do. These are some of the product pipelines that we have as far as the offshore concern. Domestic concern, there's only one product pipeline that we have kept as if at this time today.
Sure, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Mohit Mangal from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, Mohit.
Yeah. So first is in terms of SIP AUM. I think you said that it's around 78,000 odd crores. So if I look sequentially, I think there is a 7% decline. Is this number right?
Yeah. It's because of the equity mark to market, Mohit.
Okay.
This year there's no decline. Yeah.
Understood. And secondly, basically in terms of the industry, so there's a lot of talks of this 250 rupees SIP, you know, that is there. So it could, Balasa could just help us understand, you know, the dynamics of it and how do you intend to, you know, kind of use this situation to further, you know, improve your SIP thing.
Yeah. 250 rupees, of course, we were the, one of the funders to take lead in this phase the regulator announced sometime back. So we have put things in place, but even otherwise as well, we do offer 100 rupees SIP for people who can't afford more than that to the online platform. So we already have that in place. And once, if it become industry-wide push, of course we would participate in that. But otherwise, in general, SIP is something... my own belief is whether it is 250 rupees or 100 rupees, so SIP in general having gained acceptance and momentum, and the ticket size, the average ticket size also keeps improving. I think our focus would be use this product more to get new customer acquisition rather than focusing on ticket size. I think we'll have both the strategy going simultaneously. All the 100 rupees, 200 rupees for customer acquisition, and then increase the average ticket size of the contribution as they come on board. So that's the way I see it normally. But otherwise, I don't think this will have something unique for one to benefit big time, given the fact that SIP itself now is becoming the widely accepted instrument in the country.
All right. Understood, sir. So lastly, in terms of, you know, I mean, your peers are, you know, kind of rationalizing the distributor commission. And I think basically any thoughts that you would be doing the same or what are your strategy on that?
Of course, we do have a scope, no doubt. But however, we need to the right balance between the growing the business on one side, other side, grow the distribution channel on the other side, and ensure we also be able to maintain our overall leadership in the industry. Therefore, we'll have to just see when to do and how to do and kind of thing. But otherwise, we do have scope, but not in the current junctures. We would rather focus on growing the book size and customer base and expand the business.
Okay, understood. Thanks and wish you all the best.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Bhavin Pandey from Athena Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Am I audible?
Yes, Bhavin. You're audible, yeah.
Congratulations on good set of numbers. Sir, I just wanted to understand one thing on how do we look at managing fund performance in a down cycle, specifically thinking from a scenario of us just being on a cusp of turnaround and maybe garnering more flows. So how do we look at it?
Yeah, it's interesting, Bhavin. I think we also be managing money business. I mean, this down cycle comes, and the only way we can manage the risk, which is what we keep harping all the time, the drawdown, especially in market volatility, happens. So the number of stocks that pull you down should be the least, and the number of stocks that you have in the portfolio that gives you some bit of either the index performance or a little better than index performance, the component should be high. So that is the principle on which we normally work. Sometimes, most of the time you get it right, sometimes you don't get it right. But this time, I must mention, the last 2-3 weeks of volatility, most of our funds could actually withstand the current market volatility and doing better than the market or the competitions. That's the only way we manage the risk. Second, of course, the sizing between large cap and mid cap and small cap. In fact, as a fund house, we have a reasonably good domination in the large cap and mid cap space, rest of small cap space. To the extent, drawdown could also be less. I think that's the only way we keep a close track, which is the investment team keeping a very close track on that in terms of portfolio management operating style.
Okay, that's helpful, sir. And sir, when we look at the behavior of an IFA partner, let's say maybe not seeing the discontinuation of SIP right away, but customer is reducing the size of SIP he or she is doing. So when it comes to pecking order, do you think that fund performance comes into account in terms of allocation?
Yeah, definitely, of course, people do pay attention. I think there are two ways I look at it. One is, of course, improvement in performance. Second is the perception of improvement and performance. And third is the, irrespective of whatever it is, how we are committed to engage with partners and continue to provide the top of the mind service. In my talk, I mentioned about 3-4 initiatives that we have taken, such as SSV and legacy leap kind of things. These are all shows our commitment to the distributors. And third, of course, is the customer engagement, direct customer engagement by way of guiding, giving insight, and giving our narrative on a continuous basis. It's not about getting a call right or wrong. It's about being in the front foot and engaging with the marketplace. All those things do matter. And of course, fund performance is only one part of it. If the fund performance is there, it becomes that much more easier for the front sales team actually to go and back in that much aggressively. If the fund performance is there, but in the borderline case, then you must also replace that with high level of engagement ground level. So this is the combination in which we work. And as I stand today, I would definitely say performance improvement vis-a-vis the peer group. Not only there has been improvement, it's also being recognized and noticed by people, therefore leading to gradual conversion of that into numbers.
That's really helpful, sir, and wishing you all the best.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Madhukar Ladha from Nuvama Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir. Congratulations for a good set of numbers and thank you for taking my questions. First, sequentially our yield has increased and that's particularly come from equity yields doing better, where you also mentioned that we have increased, we've changed some distributor payouts. Now, what I wanted to understand is, is this recurring or is this one time in nature? Second, on the market share bit, our equity market share sort of continues to slide. Despite we have actually done two NFOs this quarter, and if I'm not wrong, we collected almost 1,410+ crores. So if I adjust for that, what is your sense on net inflow market share ex NFO, you know, in continuing schemes, right? Like, what is our market share? And are we sort of improving on a quarter-on-quarter basis? Or do you say, and in your opinion, is this decline in market share more because of performance needs to catch up, or more because our market share and net inflow needs to catch up? So that is my second question. And third, on the current trends, like, you know, SIP cancellations have picked up. Also, given this volatility, is the industry, I know the industry will probably witness higher SIP cancellations, but maybe you could talk a little bit about, you know, what are we seeing in our current trends in terms of, you know, SIP numbers holding up so far, or cancellations actually picking up even more in this month so far. And how do you see investor behavior in this sort of situation over the next 2-3 months, you know, if let's say the markets were to sustain in this way? So yeah, those would be my broad three questions. Thanks.
Madhukar, on the yield side, you know, marketing and distribution expenses, which we have realigned based on the current market situation, it's in the phase where you may see some impact in the next quarter also. And there may be, the yield will more or less remain in the same range.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is one of
So we are doing it in a phased manner, Madhukar.
So the
yield will probably sustain at about 71 bps, as you mentioned earlier in the call.
Madhukar, Prakash is saying, so these current yields may be there for maybe for next quarter. These are one of a case for one or two quarters.
Understood. Then you're back, likely to come back to the 67-68 basis.
Yeah.
Okay. And what is causing this? I mean, I didn't understand what causes this actually.
So, like Prakash explained, no, this is the realignment of certain marketing and selling expenses, which is the regulatory guidelines. So, Madhukar, we have made some provisions, so that we have that we have realigned.
Yeah.
So that we will not be incurring anymore, because we're cutting back on that, is it?
Yeah, correct. Okay. And second, on your other two aspects, see, as far as the sales numbers, and of course the market share, the way I see is the overall market share as far as the equity is concerned, it's on a quarter-on-quarter basis, the fall in market share is now getting better. That's one way I'm looking at it. And second is incremental net sales in some of the funds where we are only seeing outflows for a variety of reasons. Some of the first traditional funds where we are seeing net sales improving, which includes the arbitrage fund as well as the large cap fund and few other funds which are in the main category like multi asset gain fund, including our thematic funds such as Birla Dividend Plus, Gen X fund, where we are seeing continuous flows. And these are each of these categories if we take. I think there's some other category where we're getting inflows. Those category, against those category, the net sales would be in the range of about 3 to 4% kind of thing. There are certain schemes, of course, ELS is a category we are seeing outflow, and that is largely on account of the category itself has not been getting any case big inflows. and on top of it, performance-based outflow that we have witnessed given the fact that we have large size. But there we are seeing outflows, but that's something getting reduced each month-on-month basis. Our idea is actually to identify, as I mentioned earlier, focus fund, whether we call it, five funds. We have taken a focus funds on the diversified nature and three funds on the thematic we have identified, and then driving it across the country to improve our numbers. That's something we should see it being driven from a sales point of view. But from the cancellation of SAP other things point of view, as it stands today, anyway in the last 2-3 months, the in general the SAP's top line number keeps rising. The cancellation number generally in the range of about 40-50%, and this number may even go up a little bit, 60-65%, and again it's a function of market trend that we are seeing. But that's something should not necessarily bother anyone, given the fact that and these numbers again do come back by way of gross numbers, and then new customer addition coming in. We still have only about 5.5 crore unique customer base. We have about 70 lakh unique customer base. So given the fact that the unique customer base can continue to rise, but these numbers should not ultimately lead to any different kind of output, except the ratio could change given the current market volatility if it sustains for say 1 or 2 quarters as we move forward.
Understood. So just like a follow-up, sir, on a quarter-to-quarter basis, like from quarter two to quarter three, I wanted to understand if we were to exclude the NFO flows, is our market share improving in net inflows?
Yeah, on the scheme, there are certain schemes is improving. Yes.
So Madhukar, in the quarter three, we have seen the improvement in the net sale ex NFOs, which has resulted in the improvement in the market share.
Yeah.
Understood. Okay, that's positive. Thank you, sir. All the best.
Thank you for the best. Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that would be the last question for today, and I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, and thank you everyone for joining, and with this we conclude our Q3 FY25 earnings call, and do feel free to reach out to our IR head, Prakash Bokhale, for any queries that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of InCred Equities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.